Good morning again. That part, and obviously we didn't get through everything in the book of James, but today I want to share with you from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. If you can get your Bibles, or borrow a Bible, or look a Bible up on your iPad or your phone, James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Let us pray together. Lord, as we turn to your word now, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, reveal your truth to us. I pray that we would focus on what you have to say to us individually and corporately. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and not that it would be the words of man, but by your Spirit, you would speak to us. So we commit this time to you now, Lord, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, today is the final part in the series on James, and we've kind of come full circle. The first part of the series, we spoke on James chapter 1, and James was talking about trials, difficulties, challenges that we face in life. And we looked at that, and we also specifically focused on verse 5 of chapter 1, where James encourages us to pray for wisdom. And you remember we looked at that, James said, pray for wisdom, and I couldn't quite understand why it was in there when he was talking about trials and tribulations and difficulties. And the conclusion was that the Lord would give us wisdom to understand why we're going through the trial. So we need to pray for that wisdom and ask the Lord why we're going through these difficulties, to understand what is his purpose, what is the big picture that God is working out in our lives. So it all involves prayer and faith. So we've come full circle. We come again to a passage on faith, on prayer. And if we look in these verses, verse 13 to 18, seven times, I believe it's actually eight times he mentions and says prayer or pray. Just in those seven verses, he mentions it eight times. And he covers everything. He says, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're sick, pray. If you're healthy, pray. If you're happy, pray. If you're going through difficult times, you're struggling with sin, pray. That pretty much covers all of us. There's no one that can say, well, that doesn't apply to me, I shouldn't pray. It covers every one of us. And so that is his encouragement to us. We need to be praying. Just a reminder who James was. James was the half-brother of Jesus and the son of Mary and Joseph. And James, when Jesus was starting out his ministry, James was one of the brothers of Jesus that went and tried to pull him out of where he was teaching and ministering and saying, he's crazy, you know, don't just ignore him. Because James didn't realize who Jesus was. He didn't know who Jesus was. This was his crazy brother that stood up and started teaching one day. And but everything changed for James when Jesus died and rose again. When James saw the resurrected Lord, when he saw Jesus in his resurrected body, he realized this was no ordinary man. Jesus was fully man and fully God. And James changed completely. James went from being someone that wasn't sure about his crazy brother to someone that worshiped God, worshiped Jesus, because he recognized who Jesus was. And James became known for his piety, for his dedication. His name, his kind of nickname was James the Just. And, you know, he wrote this epistle, which is full of prayer and faith. He became known as a man of prayer. So much so, in fact, that his knees were calloused from praying so much, from being on his knees. And he spent so many hours on his knees in prayer that they called him camel knees, because he had knees like a camel, because he spent so much time in prayer. He was transformed. He became one of the leaders of the early church, the first century church. This is what happens when someone encounters Jesus and meets Jesus and realizes who he is. We can never overemphasize the importance of prayer, the power of prayer, the need for prayer in our life. We can never overemphasize it. We can never pray too much. It is the lifeblood of every true believer. It is our life source. We need to pray. But prayer is neglected. Prayer is so often neglected within the church, within our own personal lives. We think, well, you know, I'll just keep on going. Everything seems to be going okay. Why do I need to pray? And in many circles, prayer becomes a lifeless tradition, just kind of mouthing the same words repetitively over. There's no life in it. We need to pray, realizing who we are praying to. We're praying to the Creator of the universe. We get to go before the throne of God and pray. That's the reality of prayer. And just a reminder, in the shout that you'll see, the prayer meeting this coming Wednesday night, it says the 23rd, but Wednesday is the 21st. So we're gathering for an hour from 6 to 7 on Wednesday the 21st, this coming Wednesday. So we'd love for you to join us for that. But prayer is so vital. Samuel Chadwick once wrote, "Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Satan trembles when we pray. There is power in prayer. And as we close the series on James, I'm going to look at two verses in specifically in this passage, two verses that are somewhat controversial. They have been discussed for centuries. They have been wrestled with by minds far greater than mine. They have been debated and wrestled with. And it's verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." And verse 15, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." So this passage has been dealt with differently across the centuries. For example, the Roman Catholic Church uses this passage for the practice that they have of anointing someone with oil on their deathbed, just before they're about to die. That's where they get it from. Well, it doesn't seem to fit, because he clearly says, if you pray over them, they will be healed. So that doesn't work for me. Then there are those who also believe that this only applied to the first century, the early church. You know, that healing was for then, and it doesn't work like that anymore. Don't pray for healing now, because God doesn't heal anymore the way he used to in the first century. And some of their reasoning for that is, well, you know, we have modern medicine, we have, you know, all these abilities now that we didn't have back in the first century, so God needed to heal then, but we don't pray for healing now. Well, I don't agree with that either. Not only because I've been personally healed, but I've seen God heal today, and I know he does. I've experienced that. Our God does heal. He heals in response to prayer. As we pray, God heals. He heals according to his divine will. But then again, there's the other end of the spectrum that can be just as controversial. It's the declarative, and I can't even say the word properly, declarative healing, saying you will be healed, and just commanding healing based on you have to have enough faith and you will be healed. There's enough truth in that. But the problem is, out of that, though, comes a lot of people that are going through life with pain and sickness, and on top of that, they have the pain of saying, I don't have enough faith, therefore I wasn't healed. And that becomes a judgmental thing, and it's really not, I don't see in that the character and the nature of the Father heart of God. I don't see that, leaving people brokenhearted and disappointed. But as we read these verses, though, we see James saying in verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. He declares it. He says it's a categorical statement. The person will be made well. So how do we wrestle with that? How do we figure that out? Well, the one thing James doesn't say is they will be made well right then. Sometimes the healing takes place later. Sometimes the healing takes place a long way off. And sometimes the healing doesn't take place this side of heaven. So we got to wrestle with that. We need to understand that when we look at one portion of Scripture on its own, it's not very helpful sometimes. We need to look at the entire canon of Scripture. We need to look at all of the Bible and say, well, how does this fit in to the Word of God? And we don't have to look very far to the writings of Paul. And then we can also look back at Job. Job was a man that went through incredible suffering, and he went through an enormous amount of pain, physical pain as well, and he wasn't healed, but he went through the pain and he trusted God throughout. And then we look at Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says he was given a thorn in the flesh. He was given something that was a painful malady, some kind of illness or a pain that was given to him by the Lord. And he prayed that it would be taken away. He prayed three times that the Lord would take it away, and God didn't take it away. Now, he didn't just go before the Lord once and, you know, in 10 seconds say, oh, by the way, Lord, can you just take this thing away? No, if it's Paul, he probably spent an intense time in prayer, probably fasting, asking the Lord to take away this thorn. And God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. See, sometimes we need to look at the big picture. Both Paul and Job were going through pain and suffering, and they understood that God was in control. They understood that God was in control and he was caring for them, and that he was ultimately working out everything for his glory. But what is the prayer of faith? Because James says, you know, the prayer offered in faith. What is that prayer of faith? The answer we find is in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So a prayer of faith is a prayer that is offered up knowing the will of God. It's praying in the will of God, because we know this is the will of the God the Father, and I'm going to be praying accordingly. It sounds a bit of a cop-out to say, well, you know, if God wills it, so it'll be, you know. No, we first got to come to God, spend time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to give us the will of God, to hear from God. What is his will in this situation? Then we can pray, declaring the will of God, and be able to speak that back to God. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus also said he never did anything without the Father telling him to do it. It's the same kind of thing here. We can pray with authority. We can pray declaring healing when we know it's the will of God. But we need to spend time asking him, discerning from him, what is his will in that situation. As we look at this text, though, there's just three things I want to highlight. The first thing is the sick person is told by James, call the elders. The sick person is supposed to take the initiative. The sick person is supposed to call them and say, hey, I need help. Firstly, that's a sign of humility. and saying, you know what, I really need help here. I cannot do this on my own. I'm struggling. So the initiative is taken by the sick person. And, you know, in our day and age of self-sufficiency, in our culture of I can make it on my own, sometimes we need that kind of humility. We need that to get to the point where I really need healing. I really need help in this area. Let me reach out for help. Let me humble myself and say, I cannot make it on my own. As the body of Christ, together, we need to understand that vulnerability, that humility is what's needed. We need to be humble with each other. False pride doesn't cut it. We need to be humble and reach out to others when we're in need. The second thing James says is call on the elders. Call on the elders of the church. The elders are the spiritual leaders, the under-shepherds, the pastor, and the elders of the church. This is who James says call on in your time of need. Now, at Grace Point here, we don't officially have elders, and maybe one day we'll get to that point where we have appointed elders. But we have a pastoral team, and we have people that you will know that's an elder. That's someone that has the anointing of God on them to be an elder. Someone who I can go to and I know they're going to pray for me and they're going to discern the will of God and they're going to pray with insight. Those are the kind of people we're talking about here. But you know, it doesn't say that, James actually, I'm going to jump ahead, but to verse 16, because he doesn't say only the elders, because verse 16 he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. A righteous person, who is a righteous person? It's someone that has come to the cross and confessed their sins and said, relied on the cross for salvation, come to Jesus and asked him to be the Lord of their life, covered by the righteousness of the blood of Jesus. That's a righteous person. That means everyone who truly knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior can and should be praying for others, because that's the prayer of a righteous person. But come to God in that place of humility. A person who has right standing with God, that's a righteous person. Those people, Lord willing, many of us are in right standing with God today, can pray for others to be healed. James also talks about a sick person. He says, anoint them with oil. And that can kind of go all different ways. You know, what do we mean by that? And if you look at the Greek here, that anointing with oil is actually a medicinal term that is used to show when someone is massaged with oil. And it's like a therapeutic. It's the first century form of antibiotics almost. It's a therapeutic medicinal use. And so what I think he's saying here is that, you know, pray for healing, but then also use what you have to alleviate the pain. Use what you have to help make the person well. So in that one sense, it could be that. The other sense is, you know, there's nothing magical in oil itself, but the anointing of the oil is kind of an outward expression of the spiritual healing that's taking place. So it's a symbolic gesture in the way of offering prayer. So the prayer is not only heard, but it's also felt and experienced. As a personal testimony of my life, I was probably 13 years old, and I struggled with asthma as a child really badly. I was hospitalized probably twice a year, every year up until the age of 13, and you know, spent a lot of time in oxygen tents and just struggled to breathe. You know, knew what it was not to be able to breathe. Hence, I never ever had any desire to smoke, because I thought, if that's how bad I struggled to breathe, why would I want to make it any worse? But my dad, who was the pastor of the church, he called some of the deacons together out of desperation. He said, "This is what the Word of God says." He says, "We're desperate. Our son has been rushed to hospital in ambulances and, you know, at death's door sometimes," and got their deacons together. They got a little bit of oil, and they anointed me with oil and prayed for me. Since that day, I've only had one asthma attack. And I believe I've been healed. There's been medical tests to show that, yeah, praise the Lord. Now, that was a prayer offered up in faith.
Yeah, that's right.
There was nothing, there was no knowledge of, well, this is, you know, this was just humbly coming before the Lord and saying, we are desperate. Offered in faith. And the Lord honors that. But James also highlights the connection between sin and sickness. In verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, it's clear that not all sickness comes from sin. Jesus made this clear in John 9, where he healed the man who had been born blind. Well, the disciples and everyone saying, what sickness caused this blindness? And Jesus said, no, it is to my Father's glory. And so not every sin causes sickness, and not every sickness comes from sin. 1 Corinthians 11, though, is very clear. It is a warning to us. 1 Corinthians 11 is the passage that I always quote and remind us of when we participate and celebrate in the Lord's Supper, that if we participate in that and there is sin, unforgiveness in our lives, we're opening ourselves up to punishment. Paul writes there that many of you are sick because of that. Many of people have even passed away because of that. And so sin, sometimes God gets our attention by allowing some sickness, humbling us, bringing us to the point of desperation and saying, God, I need your help. God is more invested in the condition of your soul and your eternal salvation than he is in any of your temporal condition. Because this is a temporary condition that we're in. This is temporary. Our physical ailments, and sometimes they are overwhelming pain and suffering. It's temporary. God is focused on eternity. He sees eternity. And so we cry out and say, Lord, I want this pain to go away. Sometimes he's saying, my glory is going to be revealed in eternity for your life. Sometimes he allows sickness to get our attention, to bring us back to him, to bring us to the position where we realize that we need a Savior. He allows that. And if you're sick today, and if you go through sickness, and the Holy Spirit reveals sickness in sin in your life, the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, repent of your sins. Confess it to the Lord. Allow yourself to be washed by the blood of Jesus, and God will make you well. He will heal you. Again, not every sickness comes from sin. But so often, though, we need to get the right perspective, because we focus so much on praying for healing of the sick. And we don't, when the Lord's saying, well, what about their salvation? We need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that people get to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The healing that Jesus did and the disciples did always led to the opportunity to share the gospel, always led to the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel. So the question today is, why don't we see healing? You know, so often people will say, well, why don't we see healing today? I don't see that. I've never seen it. I go through life and nobody's healing today. Why don't we hear about God doing miracles? Well, the truth is, he is doing miracles. God is a miracle-working God. We were praying this morning together, and again, the Lord just revealed to me, God doesn't work naturally. He is supernatural. Everything God does is supernatural because he is God. God moves in power today when his children pray. Another reason that we don't see God moving, particularly in a first world environment, is because we are so reliant on medicines and prescription medications and so on, is say, well, on the one hand, we pray and say, Lord, heal me. But on the other hand, we know we've got a doctor's appointment lined up, or we've got some medication to take care of that ailment that I have. Now, I'm not saying stop taking your prescription medication. I'm saying is in our environment, we tend to be so focused on, I have a solution. So, Lord, it'll be nice if you heal me, but I have a solution. If you go to a third world country and places where there isn't medication and doctors and so on, healing takes place all the time because people are desperate for healing and they have no options. People are just desperate. Miracles take place every day in parts of the world where modern medicine is not available. One example is, Debbie and I love to tell this story. We were in a town in South Africa leading a mission team, and I remember we were walking down this very dusty street, and I was holding this little girl. She was probably about 6 years old, and just the cutest little girl. I was walking with her, almost as cute as Christy. And sorry, I didn't want to embarrass you. So I was holding this little girl, and we had this crowd of children around us, and we had a team of probably 10, 15 people. And this little girl stopped and just looked at me and said, "Can you come pray for my granny?" And I said, "I'm sure we can pray for your granny." She says, I said, where does she live?" She says, "Right here." And we were standing outside her house as we were walking down the street. So obviously she had realized we were right outside her granny's house. And, you know, "Can you pray for my granny?" So we went into this house, and it was kind of a dark house. And there was an elderly lady sitting in the chair there. So we didn't ask. We just walked up to her and, "What's wrong? How can we pray for you?" And she said, "Well, I have gallbladder pain. I have gallbladder stones, and it's really, really painful." And so we said, "Let's pray." And so we gathered around her, probably four or five people gathered around her, and prayed and interceded, and probably for about 10 minutes just prayed and asked the Lord for healing. Well, she was healed. She got up and said, "The pain's gone. I'm healed." And she visibly looked different. She looked healthier. It was wonderful. So I turned to the little girl and I said, "God healed your granny." And she looked back at me and she says, "That's not my granny." So I said, "Oh, okay, that's not your granny. Well, the Lord healed her anyway. Where's your granny?" And this story gets even crazier. So this lady is led towards us, and she's from the back room. And so she comes and takes seat now in this chair where the other lady was sitting. And so she's sitting there, and we ask her, "Well, what can we pray for you? You know, this is becoming like a surgery. You know, what can we pray for you?" And she says, "I have very high blood pressure and just persistent headaches, and it really bothers me." So we said, "Okay, let's pray and let's see what God does." And so we prayed. And we prayed again earnestly, and we had some Korean students with us. And if any of you know how Koreans pray, it's not quiet, and it's persistent. And it was wonderful to be around their passion for prayer. Anyway, so we're praying, and next thing the lady jumps up, and she starts shouting, "I can see! I can see!" And what? She said, I had very bad cataracts and I was blind. And so she runs up to the window, she opens the curtains, and she's looking out at the children playing in the streets that she hasn't seen for months, maybe years. And we were just praising the Lord. And I said, "By the way, we started praying for your blood pressure and your headaches." She said, "No, I have no headaches anymore. I can see." You know, God worked in power. It was, and it, you know, what it allowed us to do then is to go into the streets. This lady was praising the Lord for her healing. We were able to share with the neighbors what God did in an area where she couldn't have had or afforded surgery for her eyes. God healed her. And the lady with the gallbladder problem, she couldn't afford to go to the doctor and get surgery, but God healed her. And we were able to give glory to God. People came to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior that day. God does heal today. I've experienced it. But we've also experienced it right here at Grace Point. And God is still in the business of healing people. And I want to, we have someone that I'm going to ask to come and share her testimony. Barbara, if you want to come up and just tell us a little bit about what God has done in your life. Thank you, Barbara. And I texted, well, actually I emailed Barbara and I said, "This is what I'm preaching on Sunday. Do you mind sharing?" And she said, "I've been wanting to tell people what God has done for me." And that's what we need to do, is we need to celebrate when God does good things, when God heals. It happens all the time. We need to celebrate it because it builds faith. It builds faith in us. It builds encouragement and faith, you know, and that's what James is saying. It's the prayer offered up in faith, saying, God, we know you can do this, and we're going to pray and ask you. The key is faith, but it's not just any faith. It's faith in the sovereignty of God, faith that God is God and we are not, and that he can heal. You know, faith is not just a magic key to all things. It's faith in the sovereignty of God, who he is, relying on the promises of God's word as well. God's word is full of promises, and as we pray these promises, God moves. I honestly, you know, would love to say to you, I've got this all figured out, and I can understand this, you know, and I've got it all figured out, and I've been sharing with some of our staff member this week about it and discussing it. I don't have it all figured out. This has been wrestled with for the centuries, and you know, sometimes I'll pray for someone and they're healed. Sometimes I'll pray for someone and they're not healed. But I won't stop praying for healing, because you never know when God's going to bring healing. It's all to the glory of God. You know, if any time we say, well, I've become the great faith healer and I put my name up on a billboard and say, come to me, we've lost it, because it's God. It is all about him. And Barbara, I appreciate you saying, well, I'm not going to mention the name of the person, because it's to God's glory that we are healed. But the other side of it is, you know, we must never shy away from praying for the sick. We sometimes feel, well, what if that person isn't healed? I'm too scared to pray for their healing, because maybe that person's not going to be healed and it's going to look bad. Well, you know, God can defend himself. We don't have to defend God. He can defend himself. Just take that step in faith. And again, if the Lord's leading you to pray for that person, if someone comes to you and is struggling with something, just say, you know, can I pray for you quickly? Just a simple prayer offered in faith. Let's do that for each other. Let's take that step of boldness. Instead of saying, I got a good doctor I can recommend. Say, yeah, maybe I've got that, but can I pray for you? Let's just become a people praying for each other. You know, sometimes we shy away as well because we don't feel we're qualified. You know, we don't feel it, well, I'm not, you know, I've never seen anybody heal before. Well, don't you want to? Let's just take that step in faith. We're all qualified if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You are qualified to pray and bring someone before the throne of God. That's all it takes. The blood of Jesus bought your access to the throne. Use that access. You have access to the throne of God. So now let's use that. So don't be afraid of failing, and don't say, I'm not qualified. Those are both lies from the enemy. So today as we close, I just want to give an opportunity for God to move in power and see what God does. And it was interesting, we were praying again earlier this morning. We say that God move in power. Well, God only moves in power. He cannot move any other way. God is powerful. But let's, as we sing the final hymn, if there's anything that you're struggling with, whether it's physical ailment, maybe you don't want to mention what it is, we'd love to just pray for you today. Just pray and see what God does. So wouldn't you come up for prayer during this final hymn? And we'll have some people up here who can pray for you. We'd love to do that. And I'd like to have a time of ministry, so we may close the service. And if you need to go home, you can, but we're going to continue to pray for people today. And let's just leave it up to the Lord and see what he does as we move in faith and trust him. We're going to close the service now, but if you want to come forward, we're going to be praying for people for a little while. So let us close in prayer. Lord, we do thank you that you can move the mountains, that nothing is too difficult for you. So Lord, as we leave this place now, I pray that you would give us a measure of faith to be able to pray for each other, a measure of faith to be able to see people healed in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, you are so good to us. We trust you. We give you all the glory and all the praise and the honor. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes.